A Canadian company loses execs in a light plane crash again. Aspen's Evolution Glass panel is now legal in 400 aircraft types. And Bloomberg reports the Delta Northwest merger is still alive. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, March 31st, 2008. Canadian officials report a Piper PA-46 crashed in Alberta on Friday. Moderate icing conditions were reported in the area at the time, but Transport Canada says a controller in Edmonton observed the aircraft moving erratically as it flew on a course to Winnipeg. When that controller made contact, the pilot reported a problem with a gyro. Soon afterward, the aircraft was observed in a rapid descent, and the controller lost contact. The incident report identifies the aircraft as a PA-46-350P, that's a jet-prop converted Malibu, fitted with a Pratt & Whitney Canada PT-6 turboprop. The CanWest News Service earlier reported five people were on board, flying out of Edmonton to Winnipeg. The aircraft disappeared from radar about 8:12 a.m. Friday. The Mounties have discovered part of the wreckage of the plane, which is owned by A.D. Williams Engineering, which owns interests in Northern Diamond Mines. Company President Reagan Williams and executives Rhonda Quirk and Phil Allard were reportedly among the five people on board. In a terrible double coincidence, Allard was appointed CFO in January, filling a post left vacant after his predecessor, Stephen Sutton, was killed in a plane crash 5 months ago. That accident also claimed the life of company founder Alan Williams, who was Reagan Williams' father. Aspen Avionics has received its approved model list supplemental type certificate from the FAA for its EFD-1000 primary flight display. The certification, combined with the TSO received 2 weeks ago, authorizes installation of Aspen's Evolution PFD in almost 400 airplane makes and models. CEO John Uzukai calls Evolution the first practical and affordable way to bring state-of-the-art glass cockpit benefits to the bulk of the general aviation fleet. Quote, soon anyone who wants to move up to a glass cockpit will be able to do so, unquote. Shipments are scheduled to begin today. Aspen says new models will be added regularly over the next few months. The complete approved model list is available from a link at the bottom of the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. Pilots on both sides said the idea was dead, but Bloomberg now reports Delta Airlines is considering a proposal from Northwest to pursue a merger without an advance agreement on pilot seniority in the merged workforce. Anonymous sources are quoted as saying the proposal would include a smaller pay package for pilots and could move forward as both carriers battle restless shareholders and relentless oil price increases. Analyst Henry Hartevelt at Forrester Research Incorporated in San Francisco says the pilots missed an opportunity. Quote, the pilots were given the chance to try to put this together and make it work, but they couldn't. Both of these companies are publicly traded companies and are charged with providing value to their various stakeholders, unquote. A Delta-Northwest merger would create the world's largest carrier by passenger traffic, displacing American Airlines. Neither carrier is officially commenting on the Bloomberg story. We'll keep you posted. British Airways' new Terminal 5 at London Heathrow has been much anticipated, and no less than Queen Elizabeth II was on hand for its dedication. But things have gone downhill from there. The gleaming new terminal welcomed its first actual paying passengers on Thursday, and what followed was 3 days of delays, cancellations, angry passengers camped overnight, and what BA customers say has been non-existent communication from the airline. On Saturday, Scotsman Thor Jorgensen was not happy. Quote, we got here at 3 a.m. and our flight was supposed to leave at 7:15 a.m., but it was canceled. They didn't tell us where to go and we'd been moving from queue to queue. It's terrible, unquote. Other passengers called the lack of organization and customer courtesy shocking and chaotic. British Airways was expecting far fewer cancellations on Sunday, only 37. Saturday saw 57 out of 347 British Airways flights scrapped. The frustration wasn't limited to passengers either. The Press Association reported two BA employees got into a fistfight, providing at least a momentary diversion for the stranded passengers. Up next on ANN, Mitsubishi officially enters the regional jet game. Australian officials report a coordinated laser attack on planes landing at Sydney. And LL Airlines ekes out a profit for 2007. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 31st, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. It's official. There's a new player in the increasingly crowded regional jet game. Mitsubishi Heavy Industries officially launched the Mitsubishi Regional Jet on Friday with a 25-plane order from Japan's All Nippon Airlines. Beginning tomorrow, the tentatively named Mitsubishi Aircraft Corporation will officially begin the jetliner's design, type certification, sales, and customer support. MHI's Nagoya Aerospace Systems Works will manufacture both the prototype and production models and handle the MRJ's flight testing. Mitsubishi Aircraft is headquartered in Nagoya and will start with about 200 employees. Nobuo Toda, director and senior vice president at MHI, has been named its first president. As ANN has reported, the MRJ is a 70 to 90 seat regional jet and will be the first regional jet to adopt composite materials for its wings and vertical fins on a significant scale. In combination with new Pratt & Whitney engines and an advanced aerodynamic design, the aircraft is being planned to reduce fuel consumption substantially. It's hard to know sometimes when we hear these reports whether people who point lasers at aircraft really mean harm to anyone or whether they're just experimenting to see if they can see the dot show up in the night sky. Not this time. The government of New South Wales, Australia, is considering a ban on laser pointers after what it calls a coordinated cluster attack on planes approaching Sydney using four separate green lasers, lasting about 15 minutes. The Australian Associated Press reports the incidents took place on Friday and resulted in temporary changes to flight paths into Kingsford Smith Airport about 10:30 p.m. local time. The laser beams appeared to have originated from the Bexley area in southwest Sydney and were described by Air Services Australia as, quote, the worst attack in our experience, unquote. Other Australian states are already moving to classify laser pointers as weapons, triggering penalties including fines and jail time for their misuse. The Civil Aviation Safety Authority supports the ban. CASA spokesman Peter Gibson says laser attacks on pilots are increasing in number, with 5 to 6 reported in Australia each week. Israel's national airline, El Al, reported encouraging 2007 financials last week. Revenue rose to $1.93 billion U.S. That's up 16% in 2007 over 2006, and the highest revenue in the airline's 60-year history. In a less cheery perspective, the 2007 net profit of $31.7 million made back only about 7% of last year's $433.9 million loss. El Al has faced a steep upsurge in competition, a dramatic increase in fuel costs, the U.S. dollar's all-time low of 3.4 shekels, and geopolitical unrest. Airline President Haim Romano remains optimistic, citing record growth in revenues and higher load factors during 2007. The Bell Boeing Program Office announced on Friday the U.S. Department of Defense awarded a $10.4 billion, five-year multi-year procurement contract to deliver 167 V-22 Osprey tiltrotor aircraft. Bell Boeing is a strategic alliance between Bell Helicopter and the Boeing Company. The contract includes 26 CV-22 aircraft for the Air Force Special Operations Command and 141 MV-22 aircraft for the U.S. Marine Corps. The contract includes an option for additional planes. As ANN reported, the Bell Boeing Program Office recently celebrated production of the 100th V-22. Gene Cunningham, VP of the Bell Boeing Program Office in Amarillo, says the contract sets a strong positive course for the V-22 program. Quote, the MYP contract allows the industry team to stabilize our production plans, creates savings for the taxpayer, and increases the number of aircraft being produced for the warfighter, unquote. Still ahead, a Charlotte newspaper identifies that pilot whose pistol went off in flight. SpaceX breaks records with its latest Merlin test. And JetBlue's founder and former CEO is back with a new airline. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 31st, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The Charlotte Observer newspaper has deduced the identity of the U.S. Airways captain whose handgun discharged during a flight. WRAL-TV reports pilot James Langenhahn declined to discuss the shooting with the newspaper, saying he'd like to talk about it, but he can't. The report adds that messages left by the Associated Press at a phone number listed for James Langenhahn in Pittsburgh were not returned on Friday. The newspaper asked the Transportation Security Administration to provide an updated police report, which showed Langenhahn's last name. He's a former Air Force pilot and went through TSA certification to carry the gun on the plane. The police report said the pilot was putting his pistol away when it discharged March 22nd, about 10 minutes before the plane landed in Charlotte. Space Exploration Technologies Corp., aka SpaceX, tells ANN it conducted the first three-engine firing of its Falcon 9 medium-to-heavy-lift rocket at its Texas test facility outside McGregor on March 8th. At full power, the engines generated over 270,000 pounds of force and consumed 1,050 pounds of fuel and liquid oxygen per second. That's a record for the most powerful test yet on the 235-foot-tall test stand. A total of nine of the Merlin 1C engines will power the Falcon 9 rocket. The test series will next combine five, then finally nine engines. With all engines firing, the Falcon 9 can generate over 1 million pounds of thrust in vacuum. That's four times the maximum thrust of a 747. The company says its first Falcon 9 remains on schedule for delivery to the SpaceX launch site at Space Launch Complex 40, Cape Canaveral, Florida, by the end of 2008. Embraer signed a contract last week with the newest Brazilian airline, commanded by JetBlue founder and former CEO David Neeleman, for the sale of 36 Embraer 195 jets. The agreement also includes options for another 20 aircraft and purchase rights for 20 more. The new company, for the moment known as Air Brazil, registered a request for an airline company certificate of approval with the National Civil Aviation Agency earlier this month and will soon launch a marketing campaign to publicize its name and brand. The total value of the order at list price is $1.4 billion U.S. and could reach $3 billion if all options and rights are confirmed. The first jet will be delivered by Embraer later this year. Neeleman is best known for his 24-year career in aviation in the U.S., including starting up JetBlue, but is a native of Sao Paulo, Brazil. And finally, you can relax now. You'll no longer have to remove your nipple piercings at TSA airport checkpoints. As you might imagine, this refers to the story of 37-year-old Mandy Hamlin, a Texas woman who filed a complaint after TSA screeners told her she'd have to remove her rings to pass through security. She was trying to board a flight from Lubbock to Dallas on February 24th and passed through the large full-body metal detector beep-free. But then she was wanded by a female TSA agent who detected the rings, and a male colleague then told her she'd have to remove her jewelry to board the flight. Mandy said she'd show the piercings to the female screener, but they said, sorry, no. The rings had been in there long enough that scar tissue had built up, requiring the use of pliers to get them out. The woman, through an attorney, demanded an apology. Well, in the end, the TSA would not apologize, but you'll be relieved to know the policy is changing. In its official statement, the agency said, quote, "We appreciate her raising awareness on this issue, and we're changing the procedures to ensure that this does not happen again," unquote. From now on, as an alternative to removing your jewelry, you'll be allowed to disrobe for inspection of your piercings by a TSA screener of the same sex, which is exactly what Mandy had proposed in the first place. You know, I don't have any piercings, but if I did, I think I'd want to remove them regularly to avoid ever having to use pliers. And if what happened to Mandy ever happened to me, I'd be in big trouble, because by the time you reach my age, they could be 10 rings deep and covered in bark. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. It's Monday, so my guest today is CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. We'll discuss how holding patterns may be a lost art, but why proficiency in the skills are still a requirement. Also, how a teenage daughter's get-there-itis forced Bob to reflect on go-no-go decisions. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.